William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army, and he was asked one time to explain his life as a Christian. So he answered with one short sentence. He said, "Jesus Christ has all of me." That's what he said. And he, you know, his ministry was very humble. It was very hardworking. And Booth was not the kind of guy to blow his own horn, but he blew the Lord's horn, you might say, in every chance that he got. And so that testimony is something I think the Lord would want us to say about ourselves. You look back on your life and who Christ is, his influence on you. Jesus Christ has all of me. That's what you want to be able to say by the grace of God about your own life. And to think of who Jesus is, John was highlighting that, the apostle. He said, before anything else existed, before the universe came into being, there was Christ with God. So he gets all the honor for getting it started. Creator, Savior. He sees you and I as lost people. And he reaches out to us, being born in a manger, dying on the cross. You know, Jesus as someone who you and I could be touched by. Okay, he didn't stay far away, he came near to us. So, William Booth and the Apostle John had something in common. They said, we want Christ to have all of us. And I think for our nation, when you think of the founding of the nation, America began with trust in God. And those founding fathers, you know, they didn't sit around and beat their chest and say, hey, let's build a, you know, a big old country that's going to be great. I mean, they were trembling with the responsibility. They prayed, God, you know, God help us. And they really relied on the Lord 100%. So that's a good lesson for you and I when we celebrate our birthday on Wednesday. You know, besides at a birthday party, you stamp your feet, you blow your horn, and you wear your funny hat and make a lot of noise. That's all great. Don't forget, thank God for your loved one. Thank God for your loved ones being in the land. He's the one that made it all possible. So all those things point to the grace of God at work in our lives. When John introduced Jesus to us in John chapter 1, this is what he said about Jesus. He said, we saw Christ's glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. And he said, from the fullness of Christ, we received grace upon grace, or one blessing after another. And it goes on to say, the law was given through Moses. That's important. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So John couldn't help himself when he started to talk about Christ. He preaches grace four times, right there in that little section. This is God's gift to you, who the Lord is. And if you look through the New Testament, grace is preached 130 times. Well, that's a whole bunch of sermons to be thankful for. It happens to be mentioned more than heaven and hell in the New Testament, because the gift of God is the way to heaven. The gift of God is the way out of hell. Okay, the only one, Christ. And Charles Spurgeon tells a story about grace. He preached grace often in his preachings. He was from a previous century. He said a bunch of deacons went to a poor widow's house and were attempting just to give something that might be of help to her. She didn't have a lot of resources. So they came to her door, knocked on the door, and there was no answer. They knocked harder, and they waited because they know she must be home. She's really too poor to go anywhere. But no answer again. She just hid inside the house. And so the deacons gave up. They left. They saw her on Sunday morning. They said, hey, we stopped by your house. We wanted to pass on something. We thought it would be helpful to you. And she said, oh, that was you guys. She said, I thought that was my creditor coming to collect, you know, the debt that I had. And I'm in great debt, and I can't possibly pay it. And so when it comes to the grace of God, you know, he comes to you not to collect a debt. He comes to you to give you something that you can't afford and you could never get on your own. And that would be the gift of Christ, the gift of heaven itself and fellowship with him. Jesus didn't come for you to pay for your sin debts, but that he would pay for your sin debts and came to rescue us in our spiritual poverty. John Newton said this was amazing grace. And one of the most famous songs in all of recorded music. Interesting, if you look at that psalm, John Newton was not a musician. Okay, that wasn't his thing. In fact, in the hymn book, we only have two songs by John Newton. But the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. That song was recorded more than any other song in the history of music. That's amazing. In fact, it was, believe it or not, Elvis's number one purchased song. Some of you don't know who Elvis is, but he was an old-time singer, you know. And but Amazing Grace, it hits the human heart, sung more than the Beatles or Michael Jackson or whoever your favorites are. Okay, the Lord honoring Himself through the gift of God. If you took the word grace and made it an acrostic, God's riches. What the Lord would like to share with you. God's riches at Christ's expense. So it's definitely not a cheap thing. It's a very precious, the grace of God. And so God's grace, a formal definition would be His unmerited favor to the ill-deserving. So it's not just, boy, do I need Christ? Well, yeah, I need Him a little bit. The message of Christ as the gift of God is the message is simply this. I am as sinful and as corrupt as I can be without Christ. Okay, that's part of the confession you and I would make before we came to Christ. I'm as sinful and corrupt as I can be without Christ. And ironically, the more you know the Lord, the more you realize that about yourself. Okay? Because then you see the areas in your life more and more where you need His help. When I first became a Christian, I said, okay, I won't cuss. I won't do the alcohol thing, and, you know, I'll try to behave myself morally. A fantastic Christian, you know. I could probably become an officer here in this church just on that basis. No. Okay, there was other big things that the Lord had to say. He said, hey, what about loving me? What about loving your neighbor? What about serving? What about being a good Samaritan? How about, you know, how about giving your life as an offering to God? Now that's the William Booth. Jesus Christ has all of me. So God's gift to us, we want to take the grace of God for ourselves. It brings fantastic obedience into our lives. And someone said, God's grace is better experienced than explained. It's like God's love. See, it doesn't mean no good if I give you the three definitions of love in the Bible. Okay, that doesn't do you any good unless I actually love you with the love of Christ and show you that. Same with the grace of God. I could put away the dictionary for a while. Anybody could read that. And I could become a person who is thankful and grateful for Christ and begin to give God to other people. So we want to do that in our lives. And three things about grace that we do that are bad, and then some good examples from the Bible and modern day life. The first bad thing we do about grace is that we minimize it or say it's just kind of a small part of what happened to us or our daily life. It would be like, for example, if fire trucks came to your house and you thought, oh, good. Fire trucks are here. They're having a parade for me. Great, I'll go out there and say, thank you, fire truck. You come to the house and can I be a part of the parade? No, the fire trucks are there because you are in grave danger. Because your life is being consumed with itself and is going to be destroyed unless you have intervention. Unless God comes to be your Savior in the person of His Son. So, don't minimize grace, and it's important to you. Anybody who ever went to heaven went because of the grace of Christ. And that's the only reason they went. There was no other reason. Okay, He's the Savior. And so the first thing that's bad, don't minimize the grace of Christ. Second, don't say that grace is just for salvation. I started off as a gift from God. Thank you, God. Now you can step aside and, you know, watch me follow you. Paul said that was a big mistake. You know, start off with God and end with what you can do. That's a big problem. Years ago, they had a commercial out on television for use of things that hurt your body, and they would say, "Well, the mind is a terrible thing to waste." Okay. And that's true about Christ and His grace in your life. It's a terrible gift to waste. It was meant to change your life, and so don't just start off with the grace of God. Have the gift of God in your life every day. And then the third bad thing we do with grace is that we make it a ticket to sin. So, salvation is a gift. I can do what I want. Because I have the gift, so, you know, I'm in charge now. The grace of God comes from the Lord Jesus. And He's the one in charge. And to really be changed by His grace means your life is changed. In fact, there's no example where somebody met Christ and whose life did not take on amazing obedience because of the work of God in their lives. Okay, that would be an aberration. Yeah, we don't have any examples of that in the Bible. You might say, well, Jesus dealt with that when He said, you can't say, "Lord, Lord," if we don't want to follow Him and do what He tells us to do. So don't say that grace is a ticket to sin. Let it draw your heart to Christ and bring amazing obedience to you. I want to use just a couple examples. Grace can change a life, two in the Bible and one modern day one. First, from the Apostle Paul. He was a great follower of Christ, and he loved the grace of God. And he wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Okay, you probably heard that phrase if you were an old Popeye fan. Popeye said, "I am what I am, and it's all that I am." I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. He stole that off of Paul. Okay. Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And God's grace to me was not without effect." In other words, it made an impact. And he said, "In fact, I worked harder than anybody, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was in me." So Paul was saying, Christ gave me salvation, and He gave me these abilities to serve Him, and He also gave me a chance to serve Him, and I want to say it's all, He gets all the credit for it. Okay, just like certain things God puts in your life, you know He put them there, and you honor Him for that. Interesting, if you're a sports fan, I was watching the Olympic trials and hope to, of course, watch the Olympics, but it's interesting. I'd say about 80% of the people who got first place for the American team, I'd say about a good 80% of them, the first thing they said when they were interviewed was, "I want to thank the Lord for a chance to do what I'm doing." I mean, they put Him right at the front of the line, and tremendously so. In fact, if you watch Olympics in the future, the decathlon, I believe his name is Clay, he has a fantastic testimony about coming from a truly messed up life to a real solid follower of Christ. So keep an eye on how the Lord is honored at the Olympics coming up. But Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And he said, "I'm a go-getter because of Christ. And He gave me the energy to do what I'm doing." Look at Paul's life. You know, he had a realistic assessment of himself. He said, "I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of God's people. But God will do good things through me anyway." He went on three big missionary trips. Writes 25% of the New Testament. Tent maker. He's down to earth. But God uses his heart, his intellect, to honor the Lord. Second example is a family shared this the other day with me of a young Christian who stresses grace in their life. They happen to go to church here before, their family still does. And so I'll keep them anonymous a little bit. This Christian had the opportunity to go on two mission trips, okay, Alaska and Dominican Republic. And And what they did was they went to Alaska, you know, had to serve, and it was a tough time coming up, or perhaps it's happening later this month. But from Alaska to serving there, tough climate, tough area, back down to Pittsburgh. They get off the plane from Alaska to Pittsburgh, and they immediately get on a plane from Pittsburgh to the Dominican Republic. Wow. You know, the Apostle Paul would say that was great. Only somebody in their 30s could do that, right? We just don't have the energy and the ability to do that. But I know that the person who did that does so because of the grace of God in their life. Very thankful to Christ. And you and I, we're not going to Alaska or Dominican Republic this week. But where God sends us to help somebody, to bring some good news to somebody, is just as important to the Lord as going where this young Christian went. And ask God for that kind of heart the Apostle Paul had, you and I can have. The grace of God makes us who we are. Third example, the Apostle Peter. At the end of his life, he was writing something in the Bible, so he writes this blessing. He says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And he says, "To Christ be the glory now and forever." Well, that's a great thing to write as the last part of what he wrote in the Bible. And here's how grace motivated Peter on a number of occasions. It was the gift of God to him. He was fishing one day. This happened early in Luke's gospel. And him and his buddies are fishing. They get nothing. Okay, you might be able to identify with that in your work life. You know, you work hard, you can't see anything right away. Or you try to straighten out the family's still jumbled. Peter gets no fish. Jesus sees him. He says, "Take your net, put it on the other side of the boat." Peter pretty much gave him the nonverbal, you know. "Forget it. I'm the fisherman, you're the preacher. Be quiet." I've heard that before. So he says, "Okay, I'm going to do it anyway." He puts the net on the other side of the boat. The net is filled with fish, almost breaks the nets, almost sinks the boat, and the gift of God in his life. Say, "Jesus, I'll provide all this for you." What does Peter say? Peter says, "Oh, man, I need a Savior." In so many words, he says that. He says, "I know that I'm a sin problem in my life." And he bows before Christ. So the grace of God in a person's life can really bring the obedience that God would will for you. If you're high on grace, that is, you're thankful, you will be glad for obedience. If you minimize grace, you will always struggle with obedience. You will either try to do things on your own, or you'll say, "Forget it. You know, I don't have the strength or ability to do that." Happened to Peter also after Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't make any apologies. Last time he heard, talked to the Lord, he said, "I'm out of here." When Jesus rises, he says, "Go tell Peter I'm alive." Jesus is making a nice fish fry on the shore. He says, "Come and eat with me." And Peter's there too. So God will give us himself and that wonderful gift of who he is, then brings forth the obedience that he calls us to. And we can't do it without that gift, without that grace. Would you trust the Lord for that with me? And make your life with God I need thee every hour kind of prayer. You won't regret that. I look at my life. The times in my life I try to run it myself. I go in the wrong direction. And there's disastrous things in my soul and around others. The times I say, "Thank you, God, for Christ. And follow him." Hard times, yes, but so glad for an opportunity to serve Christ. Spurgeon pointed us to God's grace in closing with these quotes. He said, "You are undeserving and hell deserving. We know that about ourselves. But you are the person for whom the gospel is ordained." I hope you think about yourself like that. You know, without, there but the grace of God go I. I was undeserving. I was hell deserving. But the good news was ordained for me. Isn't that great? God created the whole universe. He said, "I'm going to get the news to these dear people." And another quote, he says, Spurgeon says, "Look away from your condemnation." That's your true guilt before God. Look away from that. Look away from your looking. Don't even worry about how strong your faith is. Whatever you have, God will take your faith. And he says, "See nothing but Christ and the grace of God revealed in him." Might you know the grace of God and his wonderful opportunity to obey and follow him. Let's pray together, please.